The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, and he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but no one is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and it will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. I see a lot of people back. Pierce is there. Good to see you. You're back. Second Sunday, right? Fantastic. Very good. Kim, you're back. Glad to see you. Welcome. We're glad all of you are here. Just a few weeks ago, April LeClaire, sitting right over there, and Krellen Bird and several others along with us, with Marty and I, stood in the Jordan River. It's surprising when people first see it as it is, because if it's not swollen by flooding or overly high degrees of moisture, it's not much more than a creek or a stream. Sometimes it's anticlimactic for people to see it even. These days, it also tends to be one of the most polluted rivers in the world, often in the top five, sadly. So not all that appealing when you look at it. On this trip, we didn't get to go to what I would consider, along with many others, the original site, the more authentic one, which is about halfway to Jerusalem and is in the West Bank, near the ancient city of Jericho, and near the Qumran site, the site of the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and also the Allenby Bridge, where most cross the Jordan River to enter into Jordan, the country. Although there is a baptismal site on the Israeli side, most scholars believe the true site is actually on the Jordanian side. You will find what is believed by most to be John's cave over on that side, still visible and present over there. And you can see it from the Israeli side, actually. And since that time, the river has changed course like rivers do. And the actual baptismal sites believed to now contain no water because the river shifted course. I've visited that site several times, and I can just tell you, when standing at that site, the archaeology seems to really substantiate it. But more than that, the feeling I get every time I'm there makes me believe it was here. Or very, very close. It makes sense for many other reasons, but that's for another day. All that to say, we didn't make it to that site this year. due to an early closing time mostly, but also because of some of the struggles going on there now. And of course, on this trip, we were never going to the Jordanian side, but I will tell you, if you ever get a chance, you should. It's a beautiful country with beautiful places there. So our group stood instead at the very mouth of the Jordan, right where it pours out of the Sea of Galilee, extremely north of where we usually are. And there it begins its course down the Jordanian River Valley and eventually dumps into the Dead Sea, which is the end of the road for the river. The Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth, and its waters cannot support life. This is why it's called dead. It has one of the highest salt levels of any body of water in the world. That's why you can float in it. And about all it's good for now is floating in it, which people don't do. You may remember George Burns, the comedian. He used to say, "I'm so old. When I was young, the Dead Sea was just sick." But it's dead. Nothing lives in it or can. And often when we visit, we take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee, and we did get to do that this time. And while we're out there, I often read a very famous reading about the Sea of Galilee and the river and the Dead Sea, and it's called "There Are Two Seas in Palestine." And it was written in 1928 by Bruce Barton, and it goes like this. "There are two seas in Palestine. One is fresh and fish are in it. Splashes of green adorn its banks. Trees spread their branches over it and stretch out their thirsty roots to sip of its healing waters. The River Jordan makes this sea with sparkling water from the hills, so it laughs in the sunshine, and men build their houses near to it and birds their nests, and every kind of life is happier because it's there. The River Jordan flows on out into another sea. Here there is no splash of fish, no fluttering leaf, no song of birds, no children's laughter. Travelers choose another route, unless on urgent business. The air hangs heavy above its water, and neither man nor beast nor fowl will drink from it. What makes this mighty difference in these neighbor seas? Not the River Jordan. It empties the same good water into both, not the soil in which they lie, not in the country round about. This is the difference. The Sea of Galilee receives but does not keep the Jordan. For every drop that flows into it, another drop flows out. The giving and receiving go on in equal measure. The other sea is shrewder, hoarding its income jealously. It will not be tempted into any generous impulse. Every drop it gets, it keeps. The Sea of Galilee gives and lives. This other sea gives nothing. It's named Dead. There are two seas in Palestine, and there are two kinds of people in this world. Which kind are you?" John the Baptist was not an ordinary character, even for his time. In Luke, we are told that Jesus and John met first in their mother's womb when Elizabeth, John's mother, and Mary, Jesus' mother, met. We call it the Visitation, where we get the magnificent Magnificat from. And last year, on the second Sunday of Advent, that was the reading we had, the Visitation. John had watched Jesus grow, and though we have to wonder about all that growing up time we're not privy to, if John ever once thought anything but that Jesus was the Messiah come to save his people, whether that took time and some ups and downs, one thing's for sure, by the time he reemerges in this story, John the Baptist believes it so much that he takes on this very unusual role, living like a madman, some would say, out in the desert, crying out in the wilderness. But as crazy as he seems, and as eccentric at the least and absolutely mad at the most, people were beginning to believe his message, so much so that not just the huddled masses, but also the Pharisees and Sadducees, those of the priestly class, were flocking out to the River Jordan to see and hear and to request that he baptize them. It might seem odd to you to have this message in the middle of Advent. And remember from last week's sermon, it is Advent, not Christmas. But both are joyful times. And in such times, to have words like, "you brood of vipers," come up is not exactly joyful. But John is brought to frustration and anger and uses these words to suggest the height of their hypocrisy, especially the swindling priests and those who were corrupt and scandalous in their daily life, but wished to have his holy hand and act as well. The Advent theme for today really is be ready. Be ready. John's outburst is because he sees the people who want the joy, but who don't really want to be bothered with the repentance. John's outburst is because he sees people who want all the good, but don't want to give up or perhaps even acknowledge their evil. John's outburst is because he sees people who are in love with the wedding, but not the marriage. John's outburst is because he sees people expecting magic from being baptized, instead of knowing there to be an expectation in and after that act to make a radical change in your life. In essence, he's saying, it's not magic. If you do not wish to repent, to change, to turn and live in a new way, then what he does in the river or any river is null and void, useless. The be ready here is about being ready to change. You can't make your stroll out to the river, have water poured over your head, and John's prayer said, and then turn and go right back to your life before. No, if you don't see it as changing you forever, and then you acting that out, the act is nothing more than a hypocritical facade, a charade, a farce. In a way, I love the question we hear from so many at this time of year. I know you've heard it. Maybe you've asked it. Most do not know what they're really asking, or maybe they think they do, but the question is, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready? That's the theme for today, be ready. Of course, mostly when asked this, it means, have you gotten all your shopping done? Have you sent all your Christmas cards, even though it's not Christmas yet? Have you gotten past the frenzy and stress of the season? And therefore, do you feel ready? But that's not what Christians are really asked with that question. Are you ready for Christmas? For Christians, means or should, are you ready to change? Are you ready to be changed? Are you ready to turn, to repent, to start anew, to believe Jesus is coming, and when he does, following him? Or I think I could put this even more simply, going back to that story. There are two seas in Palestine. There are two kinds of people in this world. Which kind are you? My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.